One heck of an hour.
Ian?
Yep.
It's party time!
Party, woo woo! Whoop-dee-doo!
Woo-hoo!
Oh, let's do it.
All right, cue the music. And gentlemen, friends and rivals, partygoers of all shapes and sizes. My name is Jared, and with me is the partygoer himself, Ian.
Woo! Let's go!
Yeehaw!
Party!
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we were going to look at the board game Commissioned, and then Ian found out that it's no longer in print.
It's no longer here.
And we're not interested in sharing games with y'all that you can't buy.
Unfortunately.
So, instead, we are going to give you a list of our... we're going to give you a list of party
games. We're going to give you a list. Just games. Just a list of games. We are here to partay.
We'll start with the letter A.
You have to fight for your right to party.
Nice.
No, we're no fighting will happen.
No, seriously, we will be talking about party games.
We are doing that.
Not all games.
We're
just
not fighting,
party
though.
Games.
No fighting, and we're not making any lists. It's just, we're just going to name them. Name it and claim it.
Yeah, no lists around here.
No.
We don't do
We're
that.
We're going to list games, but it's not a list of games.
Goodness gracious. Say something.
I mean, that makes sense. That's English. Anyway, well, thank you for joining us today. So, yes, we're going to talk about some party games and some of the games that we like to bring out in a party setting. We're defining party setting as...
Very loosely.
Very loose. Games that you would enjoy at a party of, what we would say, six or more-ish?
That was the general rule that I went with.
Yeah, yeah, ish. Ish.
Has to play at least six.
Yeah.
And be very light.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, yeah, be light, fun. You can probably play more than one round or game of it. And, yeah, it's fun. So that's
you want it to be fun. That is very important at a party.
It has to be. Yeah, we don't want any boring parties here. That would be awful.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness. Well, Jared, as always.
Yes.
Since we need to break the ice here for our fans.
That is what happens.
And so anyway, what is your go-to icebreaker game at a party?
At a party.
At a game night or a party that you have, whatever. What's your go-to?
All right. So if we're talking at a game night where I have a group of six or so that eventually we will break off and do bigger games,
mm-hmm.
I will start with either For Sale by Eagle Griffin Games or Point Salad by AEG. I like both of these games because they are engaging. For Sale is all about buying up property and then turning around and selling that property, and whoever has the most money at the end wins. Super simple, super quick, lots of fun. Gets everybody's brains working a little bit, but not working too hard. Point Salad is all about making a good salad.
Gotta make a good salad.
And when I was able to win this game with a bunch of tomatoes and one carrot, I said, this is the kind of salad I can get behind.
That's right.
So, just a quick little card game where you're trying to put together sets and combinations based on the point cards that you have. And, you know, another one that doesn't take very long and can be quite engaging for making the topic that it is of a salad. What about you, buddy?
There's a couple, but the one that I usually go to, and I'm trying to find, this fits up to six, but I think I'd be curious. I think you could probably make it more than that. But anyway, it is called Cockroach Poker, or there's a couple different versions. There's a Cockroach Poker, like a Royale, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. Cockroach Poker. And this game it's a German game. So the company is, there's 99 games. There's also, I think it's Dre Magnier or whatever. I don't know. I can't pronounce the company.
You don't do the names for a reason.
But, exactly. It's a German company that originally, it's like, anyway, the game is awesome. What you do is that you are given an opportunity. You will have a hand of cards and you're trying to get rid of all the cards in some way, shape or form. But basically there's not any winner. There's just one loser. And it's when they get a certain amount of insects in front of them, all of the same type. So if they get a bunch of the same type, I think it's four, then they become the loser. And there's only one loser. Now what happens is that, let's say it's my turn. I pick a card from my hand. I have a hand of, I think there's six different insects. And so let's say I have one card and it's a cockroach or a bug or a worm. I take this card and I put it face down.
Okay.
And then I hand it to one other player that's in the game face down. Mm. They have to then decide if I'm lying or I'm telling the truth. And what I have to do is announce to that player what that card is. So let's say I took a card from my hand and it's a cockroach. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to hand it to Jared. And then I'm going to say, Jared, this is a spider.
I'm going to say you're lying.
You could say that.
No, I will.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you're lying right now.
That's true. So if he says that and he says you're lying, we'll flip the card up. If I'm wrong, I get that card and it gets put in front of me.
Oh, my.
But if I hand him the card and I say, okay, this is a cockroach.
Yeah.
It actually is a cockroach. You can decide. You can say pass. And what you'll do is you'll take that card into your own hand for a second and you look at it. And then you take that card and you pick another player, not me, to give it to.
Oh, my.
And so you can be like, oh, this is a cockroach. Or what really, then it starts to get wild where you'll say something different than what I said originally. You're like, no, this is a spider. And so he hands it to another player. And so now somebody said it was a cockroach. Somebody said it was a spider. At one point, you could hit all five other players in the game and it gets down to the last person. And it has been five different things.
Wow.
And so they have to decide if they're telling the truth or not. It is hilarious. Because one, you end up picking on the same person a couple times in a row and you're just like hitting them over and over again. They just can't get it right. This game, it's so light and so fun, and everybody, it doesn't matter. Like if you know the other players, you end up, everybody's just having a good time. And it is just so funny. It is so funny the way it just quickly develops. And that's why I always use an icebreaker because again, it's, oh, I deal my hands. All right. I take a card. That's a spider. Is it a spider? Who knows? But I'm going to tell you it's a spider, and that person has to decide if I'm telling the truth or not.
I still think you're lying.
Yeah, exactly. But so good. Such a good icebreaker for me. It's one of my favorites. I bring it out almost every time because it's too easy. The game plays itself. It's too fun.
Very cool. Well, so I don't really feel a need to bring out like an icebreaker if I'm doing a true party night where we have party games. I kind of feel like they're all kind of at the same level, so there's no need to like work yourself up.
Yep.
But in the vein of actual parties, Ian, we have to get personal on this podcast.
We do.
That is how it goes. What is one of your favorite parties or series of parties, if it's like a recurring thing that you've ever experienced?
Man, such a good question. I think one of my favorite parties that I actually have ever done is at your house, which is pretty funny.
Wow, I am intrigued.
So it was years ago. But it was a Christmas party.
Are you freaking kidding me? Are you stealing my answer right now?
There's no way we have the same answer.
We 100% have the same answer. Please tell me.
The Christmas party?
Yeah, it was 100%. Well, which Christmas party? Because we've done a lot of those.
Go ahead. The murder mystery.
Dang it, Ian.
All right, I'll move on.
No, it's fine. I'll do a different one.
I have a different one.
You have a different one?
Yeah, recently.
I want you to do it.
It's a game-specific one.
I can switch. It's okay. Go ahead. I would rather you brag on me than me brag on me.
So. That's true. Well, anyway, Jared, it was at your house. And so, no, one of my favorite experiences is it was a Christmas party here at your house. And it was costume, murder mystery, everything. And everybody had a role. Jared organized it as well as he always does. Everybody was given a secret identity, like the whole shebang. And I think there was like food and everything too. It was very well done. And so I just remember walking through the door and I wasn't sure like, okay, how well, like what kind of character am I? Are we like, am I really going to sell it? Or is everybody going to kind of be like, just kind of halvesies on the whole thing? I walk in. I can't even remember who welcomed me, but they had a strong accent and was immediately asking me about something about like the whatever time period I can't even remember. And I was like, okay, so is that your real name or is it not? I don't know you, but is that your name? I don't even know. And so it was too good. I just remember as the whole night went on, it was a lot of fun to just interact with everybody. And then I don't think I actually solved the murder, but.
Bro, I am beyond honored that you chose, of all the things that you could have chosen in your life,
you probably
that you
remember
chose that
this
one
more than I do. But
bro, I remember stressing for weeks leading up to this event.
It was pretty.
We had
intense
42 people in our house.
Holy crap.
For this party.
Was it that many?
It was.
Wow.
It was. I remember setting out all the cards and setting it all up, and you couldn't just be all willy nilly about it because everybody had a part to play and a certain way of doing it.
Right, because you handed out stuff as the night
That's
went
right.
wrong.
Yep.
Were and you was, a character?
No, I played only the host.
Okay.
I played as the host. I was basically a glorified butler that could walk you through the night.
That's so funny.
Dude, I remember getting to the end of that night and being like, I crushed it. Like, in a
you
way
did.
That you, I have not felt that way in about a lot of things.
You really did
Anna
crush
and
it.
I, like, just killed it.
You
I,
really
I was
did.
So proud
it
of
was,
it.
It was, well, it's on the list, man. It was one of the...
Well...
It was overall just... And it was so cool. It's like, again, there was 40 people and a lot of them I had never met. There were some people I had met before.
Yeah.
And there were tons of people that I knew, like, as in, I know who they are.
Okay.
Cause a lot of your friends I do know or have heard of or know them via other social media platforms. And I was like, I know you, I've seen you,
but now it's real.
Like, so I know you, but you don't know me.
Yeah.
And now we're playing this character game together and we still don't know each other. It's weird, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. But even after that, after the game was over too, again, you've been doing it for multiple hours of interacting.
Yes.
That after we were done and you're having like real conversations, it was a lot of fun afterwards because like that that icebreaker is done. You've already ice broke, you know. So, no.
A 3-hour icebreaker.
A 3-hour icebreaker, and now you can have real life conversations. And it was great. It was
That's
a lot
right.
of fun.
I loved it. I remember thinking I wanted to do this every year. That did not happen, which is okay.
I've thought about hosting my own just because of that one experience. Yeah. So
I actually, Glory, my sister in law, reached out to me for this past Christmas asking for the material because I think she ran one.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, what's yours?
Yeah, so as we just heard, that was going to be mine, but I have a you did not get to experience this, which I'm really bummed by. This was something that I got to experience growing up. So I was always the black sheep social bee in our family. My parents were always like, we don't need to hang out with people. It's not a big deal.
People,
like,
people bad.
Yeah.
People bad.
But I was always wanting to have people over and doing all kinds of stuff. So I talked my parents into doing a Super Bowl party.
Okay.
And so one thing that is consistent in our family, whenever we do anything, we cannot go halvesies.
No halvesies.
We have to go all the way.
Hardcore only.
So we invited our whole church over.
Oh, wow. That's just not just a Super Bowl party.
No, it's not. And we easily had 75 to 100 people in the house. Now, thank God my parents had a huge house, which would help. And we would have like big, like people, all the kids would go outside by halftime and doing stuff. Well, anyway, so that became a tradition and we did that every year.
Wow.
I want to say starting when I was in high school, all the way through sometime in college.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Wow.
I mean, it went until Dad was finally like, okay, I'm too old. I can't do it anymore. But we did it for a long time.
That is so cool though.
But it was such a good time and it was so much fun. It was one of those things where like when we were younger, Anna and I lived like 45 minutes apart. So we didn't get to just hang out every day.
Yep.
But we always looked forward to that party.
Yeah.
And we'd do things like Foursquare and basketball and all kinds of
That's
crazy
awesome.
Stuff. So a great time.
Yeah. Because you can do it pregame and after mid game.
Whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Especially with the kids too.
Super fun. All right. But this is a board game podcast.
We're moving on.
So let's jump back in.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth. We're going to give you the game title, who it's made by. And then we're going to give a few thoughts and we're going to kind of keep it quick so that we can move through here. So
you go first.
My bread and butter party game. I will play this forever till the end of time.
Oh, wow.
You cannot wear this game out with me. I think it is such a blast. Cash and Guns, specifically second edition. I know that there are people that have played this game with me way too much and they're done and they don't need to ever play again. I love this game.
It's great.
Cash and Guns is made by Repost Production.
Mm.
And it is a game where you are basically, you have just stolen from the bank, the jewelry store, and the art gallery. You're back in the warehouse divvying up, and you're like, oh man, there's too many people splitting too many different ways. It's time for a gunfight.
That's right.
There's guns. There's actual foam guns. There's bluffing, and there's collecting of money. It is a blast, and I am here for it.
That one is excellent. That would be on my list. I would recommend that one. It's, again, talking about an experience like of just laughter, and it's so light and quick that there is player elimination, which is the one thing that's
very rare.
But
it doesn't happen a lot. And if it does, it's the end of the game.
Yeah, you're gone for maybe 10 minutes. Like, maybe. And you're watching anyway. So it's like, well, I'll go ahead and talk about this now because it's kind of a classic. I feel like most party games, this would fall under for a lot of people. I don't know who else, but The Ultimate Werewolf.
Nice.
I got the deluxe edition. This is done by Bezier Games, and it's done by Ted Alsbach as the designer. And there's been about 100 different versions, and you might talk about one other version, but
yep.
Again, you can play with 99 people. That is how many
you can
play with 99.
I would not recommend it.
If I have a group over 15 for me, this is the one I break out.
100%.
There's not many other games that you can break out with that many people. And so that's why I'm starting with it now. Just like, this is my large, massive party game. And if you don't know, you know, you're given hidden roles. There are werewolves amongst this village, and the village as a whole is trying to figure out who the werewolves are. And the werewolves inside that village are trying to kill off everybody. And there's a moderator, which I always play the moderator, and I think you do too.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you moderate the game. And so basically there are periods of where people are closing their eyes. And anyway, you're just keeping an eye on how you're giving cues and all this stuff, just pushing the game along. And there are player elimination to this, but with a large game, it is fun. There are many other re-implements of this game in many different ways. They're all really good. What's the clock tower? What's it called?
Blood on the Clock Tower.
Blood on the clock.
I actually thought about that when you said this. Mm-hmm. When you said Werewolf was your go-to, I was like, man, Blood on the Clock Tower might compete for
it. But I don't own Blood on the Clock Tower.
Sure.
I don't have space for all of them. I think Blood on the Clock Tower does it so well. I think you could, honestly, though, I could add rules to Werewolf to basically do that, where
you're
get a vote after you're dead and keep the same game. So there's ways to do it. There's just so many different versions of this, and it all flows so well. It's super well done. All the cards are so fun. And I like moderating, which is my favorite thing. I just like watching player interactions like that. It's so fascinating, especially in a large group. People don't know each other. Some people do know each other, and it's a great icebreaker too. Like,
sure.
It just flows really well. And if you've never played, come on over when we have a large group. I mean, we'll play it, because it's really the one game that I have ever seen that you could play with that many. And so that's why it's on my list for that.
My next one is a game that took the world by storm in 2015. Everybody loves a good word game. And so when Codenames came out by CGE, it was wild.
I was trying to figure out the code name that you were giving for this game. It's like, what is he talking about?
It was, I remember going to Gen Con.
Yeah.
And it was everywhere. I mean, literally, Ian, every table I would turn and there'd be another game of Codenames being played.
I do remember this.
It was so
I didn't go to
insane.
The event, but like, I remember I was like, everybody's talking about this game.
And I at the time, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, why is this such a big deal?
Everybody's playing it.
Well,
it's everywhere.
Wild.
It's everywhere.
I was in the middle of a game. I would look over and smile at this guy who's like setting up Codenames. He's like, you want to come play? And I was like, I do, but I'm in, I don't know. Like,
do I? I don't know if I
want to
come
play.
I think I do, but I'm not sure.
But no, it is a word association game.
Yep.
You play in two teams. It can be an unlimited number of players because you essentially rotate having a captain for each team. On a given round, the captain will see a secret board where they are trying to get you to guess the correct words that are laid out in front of you in a 5x5 grid. If you correctly select the right words with the hints given before the other team does, then you will win. However, there are things in play that will be a bit of a trap, if you will, because if you select the one word on the board that is an assassin, you will automatically lose for your team.
Yep.
So there is a little bit of not just running all willy-nilly, and there's a couple of rules in there that you could go through. But essentially, I think Codenames is great. I think anyone who knows how to speak the English language could figure out Codenames. There's about 1,000 different varieties of Codenames, whether it be Marvel or Disney or Simpsons or whatever it may be.
There's so many now. There's a two-player version. I know we're talking about party, but the duet is excellent.
Yep. And I mean, honestly, you could have a 4-on-4 game of duet because you're still all just working together to try to figure it out. I would never do that, but you could if you wanted to.
You could.
So, Codenames.
No, excellent game. I agree. My wife's family loves that game. I wore it out a lot, but I think I haven't played it in a while now. And so I wouldn't be opposed to revisiting. I haven't worn it out that much. So, no, it's so easy, like we've talked about, as a party game. Let's try and, get some words, and that's always a fun time. Another social deduction game, kind of, is one that I have here. It's called Spyfall. I own Spyfall 2. There's also Spyfall DC. There's Spyfall, whatever. There's a lot of them. It's done by, it looks like, I think it's Hobby World. And this game is so funny to me. It fits up to 12. And what you do is the box comes with, I think it's like 10 or 12 different like little packs of, cards. There's like, it's a deck. It's a deck of cards. But inside that deck, there's 12 different like locations inside this box. And the locations are all different. They like, one's like the racetrack, one's the mall, like very generic, whatever.
Right.
But inside that deck, there's one spy card. And so what happens is you shuffle these cards up, you deal one to each player. There's always a spy amongst these cards. And so what it is, everybody else knows, oh, I'm at the mall because they were given the mall card. But the one player that's the spy has no clue where they're at. And again, everybody has the sheet of kind of the locations. It's so good, though, because you're trying to figure out as the spy, where am I? And so what it is that each player, when it's their turn, they ask another player a question. The question could be anything.
Literally anything.
Literally anything. You could be like, let's say we're at the racetrack, and it's like, did you bring your earplugs, Jared?
Of course I did.
And so when the spy gets asked these questions, it is so hilarious. It is too good. And they just like they'll just say, I don't know. And it's like, well,
oh boy.
No. We ratted them out. And so anytime the players could vote for the spy. And again, this game takes a round is like 5 minutes. You just go around and ask
questions. It's really fast.
And so anyway, it's just so fun. It's a great little, again, social deduction. No player elimination, though. It's always a plus for
me. Right.
And then it takes 5 minutes. And you can just run it over and over again. Great. That's another icebreaker game that I have definitely brought out. It's just because it's so quick. And it works really well. It fits up to 12. Always a good number. But if you like those kind of games that where there's a social deduction aspect and a little bit of bluffing and trying to figure out things, this is a really good one because it's only a couple minutes long per round. And as in general, it's not like you're hooked for a long time. You're playing for like, you could play one round if you really wanted to. And so, always a good one for us. It's been a while since I played that one, but I do really like that one. And there's so many different versions now. And what's really cool is you can buy all of them and then throw all those decks together. So you could have like 30
chaos
locations.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've thought about doing that. It's just so funny. You could be...
You
could be at the mall or you could be in Gotham. I don't know which one it is.
It could be both. And maybe it's the mall in Gotham.
I have no idea. That would be a wild scenario.
Yes, it would.
Oh, man. I don't even know. I don't think I would ever be able to figure it out.
Nice. All right. Next up on my list that I want to talk about, Ian, we very generously were given a game to review by a publisher.
Yeah.
So this is by Doozy Games. Think Like a Shrink.
It's a doozy.
Aha. So I was very intrigued by this game because I have a therapist that I'm married to, and she's not also my shrink. Thank the Lord. That would be very unethical and problematic. But I was curious to see how she would enjoy this game, and I was curious to see how it played and then see if she felt like we were doing a therapy type thing while playing. So generally, the idea is that we are trying to figure out what's going on with each other through our emotional reactions to certain things. So, for example, I might be given a prompt with the idea. So,
easy now.
Take it easy. I'm just losing it here.
Use your words.
I'm trying so hard. So, everyone has the same six emotion cards to work with, and they are they're like happiness, sadness, disgust, fear, and there's two more that I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but everyone has the same six. Mm-hmm. And then out of those six, expand and they describe the other emotions associated with those core emotions. Okay.
Okay.
So we have these six emotions, and then we will take turns being the patient. So there'll be one patient and five shrinks in a full game of six players. The patient will have five images dealt out, and they are a variety of things. We saw gummy bears, we saw Lego pieces, we saw a robot, Whoa. We saw a frog doing the splits, we saw all kinds of things.
Okay, lots
and
of fun things.
Lots, all over the place. And we saw a gun, that got really interesting.
This is good, this is good, this is good for your, you know, just talk through
We're just
some
talking
things.
Through
just talk
some things. Through some things. Yes. So, okay, so the patient is given a prompt. So in this case, we'll use one of mine. I was told that a stranger gave me a mint.
Okay.
All right, and I had to decide how I was going to associate with it. So I would pick one of the six emotions, and I would pick one of the five images dealt out in front of me. And then I would have to write out a short blurb of why I associated with those things. Meanwhile, all of my therapists are watching me very intently.
Mm.
They are deciding secretly which emotion they think that I'm picking. And then they are deciding through pointing which card or which image I'm picking. And then they are going to go around the circle and defend why they think that that's what I picked. So at the end, after everyone's given their explanation, I reveal my whiteboard where I've written my answers, and you score based on who was closest. So you can get a point for having the right emotion, a point for having the right card, and a point for having the right why. It was a very interesting experience. It is definitely, like a lot of party games, it is definitely one that falls into the activity camp.
Right.
And I would say that because of that, I also think that it is very, very group dependent.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a group that really knows each other, I think that this activity will shine and sing, do all kinds of fun things.
Right.
As you try and pick the brains of each other. We had an individual who is a recent add to our group that we were playing this with. And I had known her for a grand total of 4 hours.
Right.
2.5 of which were spent watching a TV show.
Yeah. So really 2 hours.
Very limited in my knowledge of this person.
Yep.
Made this game very difficult.
Yeah.
It was very much felt like a guessing game. So I think it's one of those things where if you're looking for something and you're a tight-knit group and you want to kind of play shrink with each other, I think it's a fun experience.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's I think there's a lot of games that, especially in a party setting, it can be challenging, especially inside of a group that doesn't know each other. That's where I think there's two ways to go about inside of a party is that if everybody knows each other well, you can kind of stick to a game like that where, you know, let's dive into our emotional state a little bit where if everybody doesn't know each other, then that, you know, you kind of hit up more of the icebreaker games that we did talk about or going to where there's a little bit more. It's a very more casual kind of just loosen up. And especially if you're playing a party, you know, a party night where you can hit multiple of these, maybe you hit this at the end of the night where people have gotten to know each other. So, yeah, it kind of depends. It definitely is challenging when you're inside of a party setting is like you do want to. Again, that's why we're talking about so many games. Is because in a party, it's specific to the party.
Like, exactly.
And so that's always the challenge. But I think that's a very interesting game that, again, if your group really likes stuff like that, then I think they would have fun. I don't know how many times it would work. It wouldn't work every single time, but I think it could work in a specific group that does like to do that. I think that would be it would be a fun experience.
I agree. And I agree with you, too, that a lot of these are group dependent. Some people don't like having phone guns pointed at their face. So right. Cash and Guns might not be a good fit either.
Yeah, so my wife does not like Cash and Guns. I love Cash and Guns.
Sad day.
I know it is. But she doesn't like it because she probably would like Thing Like a Shrink more than Cash and Guns because of that. So
yeah, and you've got some people who get really anxious about something like Skyfall. Because you sit there and you're like, holy crap, I'm the one and everyone's targeting me. And
exactly. So that, again, another, that's one that does get kind of challenging. And any type of social deduction, it can become a problem if they don't want to open up. That, it depends on the game. Always.
Yeah. So
always.
Like you said, that's why we're trying to give a variety so that you kind of have some different ideas about what to go for.
Well, speaking of another social deduction, that's my list, basically. That every party game for me is some version of social deduction, I guess. But anyway.
But thank you for giving us
a
variety.
But yeah, I give you the variety here. You're the variety of my consistency over here.
Perfect.
Social. It's not social deduction. It has social deduction aspects. Bang the Dice Game. So this is done by.
So good.
Yeah, this game is awesome. It says DV Games. Is that right? That doesn't sound right. Is that right? It is DV Games.
And confirm.
So this game is a cowboy game where one player is the sheriff, one player will be a deputy, there'll be some outlaws, and a renegade. The sheriff is trying to survive, and the deputy is trying to protect him. But the outlaws are trying to kill the sheriff, and the renegade is trying to be the last one alive.
And the only one that you know who's who is the sheriff.
Yeah.
Everyone else is secret.
So, speaking of social deduction in a way... These roles are hidden, but what you do is you chuck some dice around and you try and shoot the players to your left and right, and you can heal with some beer, and then you can have a Gatling gun. There's a lot of different abilities and stuff that add a lot of variety to the game. Those are always fun. The last thing that can happen is the Indians attack, so watch out for the Indians. Basically, you're cowboys, but then there's an Indian raid that comes and deals damage to all the characters that have arrows. So it's very funny.
It makes sense.
It's thematic, I guess. Again, super light. You just throw some dice. Who doesn't love chucking dice? And what it comes down to, though, is as you're playing throughout the game, you're trying to figure out, you're rolling dice and shooting the other players, and your role, you can hide your role in a way, but eventually you do have to reveal yourself, as in target, the sheriff or something, if you're trying to win. Anyway, a lot of fun. Who doesn't love rolling dice?
Yeah.
And so another kind of like masked role game that I like, which it just fits into what my party games usually end up being, but it's another good one, and I know you like this one too. It's
very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I like social deduction games where it's not just one person like feeling alone and trapped and trying to figure out how their way out of the hole.
Yeah, everybody's kind of hiding
themselves
in this.
All the time in this game, and everyone's the deputy always.
Yeah, everybody's the deputy. There's seven deputies. It's fine.
Even with sheriff. So it's a good one. My next one is a card drafting game called Sushi Go Party Edition.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great, quick little drafting game where you are trying to just put together the best sushi board in front of you. Mm. Putting together the right combinations will give you points, and whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins. This is by Game Right Games. I think it's fantastic. It's another one of those games that I can throw in front of everybody. It's quick. It's easy. Everyone can relate to sushi.
Yeah.
And it's a good old time.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy this one. I've don't feel like I've had a bad experience with Sushi Go Party Edition.
Yeah, no, that one's a good one. Yeah, easy. Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't like it's drafting, set collecting, all that fun stuff. So.
And so if you don't know what drafting is, essentially you're given a hand of cards. You pick one card out of that hand of cards, and then you pass that hand to the next person, and then you keep going with the new hand that you received, and that's how you make your collection. So you're having to determine what is going to make it back to me, what are other people letting go of, and that sort of thing. So it's a nice little, it's a fun game.
But it's so quick, too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, and then you just play it again. And so it is fun. It's a good little game. So I'll get out of the social deduction. All right, I'm trying. I'm trying. So it's a game called Dixit, and I believe it's Asmodee.
I believe you're correct.
Dixit is a great, it's party kind of cliche party game, where basically you're trying to guess what other people are thinking. And so basically one player, it'll be their turn. They'll pick a card. Well, there'll be a lineup of cards and they have to say a word. And there's a couple different versions now of this. I think they're all excellent. I think there's a lot of, but the Dixit universe, this, and this is the main one, is basically I'll pick a card. I'll name a word or a phrase or some cue. Pick the card from my hand that matches that cue. I put it down. The rest of the players will all follow that cue and pick another card from their hand and put it into this pool. We shuffle the cards up and then we vote for it on who, the, you know, if whatever they think the card that I originally picked that was from my hand based off that cue. The cue could be a phrase or whatever. So it could be like a life's journey. And I, you know, we all throw some cards down and they try and pick it. I get points. They get points. If they get it correct, whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins. The best thing about this game, the best thing, and overall that system has been used in many other formats. And we've talked about some that have used a similar format. The great thing about this game, though, is the art. The art is absolutely fantastic. I don't know who they have so many artists in the different versions. They have expansion packs, all that fun stuff. The art is just wacky, weird, cute, funny. It brings on every type of emotion, which I think is what they want, is that you have these, you can create a keyword of any type because these cards are so weird. But they're, I just love the art on them. I want to sit there and just look through the cards. I just want to look through all of them because I want to even get like one printed. Like that's how so beautiful. They did such a good job on the art. And it's just it's an interesting way to kind of keep people engaged. I would say, though, it is group specific because you do need to know like how people's brains are working. I'm never good at this game, especially when we play with a couple of people I don't know super well. It's like they give me a cue word. And again, it's that whole thing where I don't know you well enough to know what that means, you know? Yeah. And so that's the problem there. But overall, like even with it, I still have fun because I'm just sitting there looking at the art. So
the art is easily the best part of that game.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It carries the game very much. It does. But I just love it so much. Again, I'll just flip to the art.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Everybody's in their own game over there. I'm just, that looks beautiful. Look at that.
Oh, it's so good. That's funny. All right, my next one is, you alluded to it earlier, One Night Ultimate Werewolf. I love what this game does.
Yep.
It is quick. It is fun. It takes a werewolf game that can get very tense and very overthought and eliminates one person because they have to be the moderator and turns it all on its head and turns it into a quick 10-minute experience. So as someone who always has to be the moderator.
Right.
Or someone who would immediately get killed if they played the game because just by meta, he is the biggest threat.
Exactly. I agree.
The ability to actually play the game is enjoyable.
Yep.
I also really like the chaotic element that One Night Ultimate Werewolf brings to the table.
It's like a more chaotic One Night of Werewolf, and it's called One Night, but it takes Werewolf, which is, it's progressed over like an hour of multiple turns, seeing how the game develops, see what people's reactions are. No, let's just stir chaos. It brings chaos into it.
Yeah. So this is also by Bezier Games. The way it works is that you have an app that they've built that actually acts as the moderator for you.
So good.
Everyone closes their eyes. Typically, the way we play is everyone's standing up so that everyone can reach without actually bumping anything.
Right.
And so the moderator, the app will direct which person to do what and when to do it. And you go through the same sequence every night or for the one night. And then you have to determine who's a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fun part is if you've added in certain roles, is that the werewolf could have changed even despite the information that you might have gotten. And so it just creates a level of chaos that's so much fun. I like that it takes 10 minutes. I like that everyone gets to play. I like that I can just say, here's your role. This is what you do. You'll figure out the rest along the way.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we have to do that again.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that reaction. So it's such a good one. I love it.
The funny thing about that is it's not who started as a werewolf. It's who finished as a werewolf.
That's right.
And again, you're given a token, not a card. These tokens are on the middle of the table face down, but they all get shuffled in the middle of the night. That's what's why it's so chaotic. And so everybody just starts claiming, oh, I move this tile, I move this tile, I move this tile. I'm like, where is it? And it's like, so one guy's the werewolf that he's over here in the corner and he's not saying anything and he knows he switched it with himself.
Right.
It's just fun. It's just funny.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's just a funny little.
You can play several times in a row and it's really quick.
Oh, I've played this game for an hour straight.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's very good.
Yeah, it's solid party. So it's a fun time, which is what we want. We want a fun time.
That's right.
Well, my next game is The Mind. And let's see, who's this one by?
Pandasaurus. Pandasaurus Games.
They're good. I like them.
Speaking of chaos.
This game is so dumb. But this would be a second icebreaker. If we went to icebreakers truly, it would be Cockroach Poker and then The Mind.
See, I don't know though. Like, isn't an icebreaker supposed to be quick?
This is quick.
No, it's not. One round
that's
is
usually
quick,
all it takes for a game.
But then everyone's like, oh, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, just one more time.
Yeah.
It's like a freaking gambling machine.
It's true. So The Mind, which you can find anywhere, actually. You can buy
Target,
this game anywhere. Yeah.
Walmart.
You can find
game
this game
store,
easily. And if you see it, pick it
Amazon.
Up.
Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere. Amazon has everything, though. So what you...
Not commissioned. So, it doesn't have that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So you are given, to start the game, one card.
That's it.
One card.
And that card will range from 1 to 100.
Yep.
And that's all it will have.
It's one card. Round one, one card. Round two, you'll get two cards.
Wait, what are you supposed to do with this card?
Now, when you're given this card, everybody will put their hands on the table.
Oh.
And we sign an oath. 1, 2, 3, and we count or whatever. Whatever you want to do.
We are forever tied.
From then on out, for the rest of the round, players must be silent. No talking. There is also no, like, any sound cues, facial expressions. There can be some eye twitching and stuff, some weird stuff if you want to get into that, I guess. But
not
like,
according to the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
But who wants to have fun?
Right.
I mean,
yeah. So there's no communication. The only communication that you can do is play the game. With that, you have to play the cards in ascending order.
Yes.
Now, that sounds like it's so easy, right? Doesn't that sound so easy?
Well, it does until you say that I can't make any kind of noise or sound
so
or indication of what...
you can't communicate with the other players whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you have to just look at each other and play the cards correctly.
And every time that either I or somebody else describes how to play this game, it sounds so stupid.
That's what I said, it was dumb.
Like, there's no... This game has zero business being this good.
It's true. So I have a concept for a game. You have to play cards, but you can't talk. That's what basically they decided to do with this game.
No, not forget talking. You cannot communicate.
You can't communicate. No communication.
Now, Ian.
Yes.
How does this work? Why is this fun?
Your guess is as good as mine. So as you're playing the cards, you can raise your hand and you have like a throwing star that which basically everybody discards their like top card. As the game goes on, as you progress through a level, you add more cards. So level, one is one card, level five is five cards.
Yep.
That's where after like round level three, it gets chaotic. Because you have so many cards, it's a deck of 100 cards, and you're trying to like, I don't know how your question. I don't have the answer to.
I truly
have no
think
idea.
That when we all put our hands in the middle, we create some kind of pact.
I guess,
and
so.
we create a connection together.
I think the fun part though is like when you're really one. You're everybody. Once you play, like it is addicting. You play like two games. You're like, okay, we can get this, and so it becomes like a task. You're like, oh, we have to get past level five. We have to.
That's right.
And as you go on, somebody makes a mistake. It's usually me where I'll throw the wrong card down, or I thought, I was supposed to play a 30 card, but we're still not even out of the 20s yet. And so you're trying to play them all in order, and it gets wild. It just gets wild.
It really does. I mean, at times it is, you get so committed and engaged that you get visibly upset when someone else screws up.
Visibly.
You're working together here to make this freaking deck the way it's supposed to be, and some dum-dum can't keep up the right way.
Some dum-dum. It's true, though. It's true. I don't... Yeah, there's no reason it should be this fun, but it is.
I don't get it.
Game.
It's so wild
it's
to
like,
me.
It's like $8. Buy it.
Don't question it.
Don't just do it.
Give up that coffee for one day.
It's
you don't need it compared to the incredible amount of joy and anger and frustration and all the emotions that are going to come out of this game.
Yep. Use your 5% off at Target. Just go ahead and buy it.
That's right.
Just use your Target card. It's too good.
Oh, my. No, it really is good. And we really do get kind of heated sometimes, but we always laugh about it afterwards.
Game. Every game, there is a heated moment.
But I know, but then, like, everyone, it's, like, so weird, though. I have never seen a more understanding of, like, why someone got heated at somebody else, and they're like, ah, it's fine. Like, they get over it. Like, it's not a big deal.
We'll start over. We'll try it again.
Yep. Next one for me is Brick Party by Renegade Games. I love Legos. Technically, if any lawyers are listening, these are not Legos, technically.
Okay. They're blocks.
They're Legos.
Yep.
Anyways, so this game has a small set of Legos, and it has a variety of cards, and you're working in teams. Always down for a good team game.
Team games are good, especially in a party setting.
That's right. So the way it works is you will be playing on a certain card, trying to build the image that is on there with the bricks that you have. Easy enough, right?
Yeah.
Well, there is also some sort of disadvantage or something of that nature that you have to work with. So it might be something like the player that's building has to close their eyes and the other partner has to walk them through each piece.
Ooh, spicy.
Something of that nature.
Yeah.
This game is one of those party games that is extremely group dependent.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people play this game and they love it. Yeah. I've seen other people that get super frustrated and don't ever want to touch it ever again.
Yeah.
I personally really enjoy it and I think it's a good time. So if you're into Legos, I would highly recommend Brick Party.
That's pretty wild. I haven't played this one.
It's one of those games where I really like at least six. It can play at four, but I don't think it's as good there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually can play up to 9.
Wow.
Like there's a variant once you get to that level.
Well, I've got one more.
Me too.
Yeah, looky there. Yeah, I don't know how much this qualifies. Well, I mean, it does. It's cool. I just recently got this one. I played it with you a long time ago.
Probably it was great.
One of the first times I ever met you, I played this game.
Makes sense.
But I finally got it, and it is a lot of fun.
It is.
So it's kind of the Resistance like world, which there's a ton of that. And I love Resistance Avalon, which is another one I was going to mention. But anyway, very similar. Basically, you're given a card or two cards and that's your life or your lives or whatever. They have an ability. There's, I think, 6 different characters or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so you're given 2 cards. They could be the same character. But on your turn, you will claim to be one of these 6 characters. You may or may not have one of those characters in front of you. But you're going to claim to do one of the actions that that character does.
That's right.
And each player will do this as you go round and round and round.
So I might say that I'm the Duke.
Right.
And I'm going to take 3 coins from the middle.
Yes. Because each of these characters has an ability. And the Duke gains $3 from the middle.
Ian has the choice of saying,
you're wrong. You're not the Duke.
You're lying.
You're lying. Again, social deduction here.
Yeah.
You're lying.
I was going to say, of course you pick Coop.
Yeah, I know. You're lying, and if he is lying, he will, he's lying.
Because so I will have to reveal one of my characters that is not the Duke.
Yes, exactly.
I lose that character.
You do. If you're telling the truth, then I would have to reveal one of mine.
You lose one of yours.
Well, yeah, you lose it. I guess you don't have to reveal. It just gets discarded.
Right. I would have to show that I'm the Duke, and then tricky enough, I would have to get rid of the Duke and get a new one.
Yeah, yeah. Replace it. You would reveal the Duke, but if you didn't, you would discard one of your identities.
That's right.
And so when you have no identities left, you're out of the game. And this game takes like 10 minutes, like tops, to play the whole game. And so, but anyway, it becomes hilarious because somebody has just been claiming the same thing over and over again, and you know they're lying, but you cannot
you're
risk.
You're terrified.
You can't risk. And one thing, there's a double, one of them is the assassin, and so they can just try and attempt to kill you.
Right.
The trick with that is when they go to kill you, if you challenge them on it and you're wrong,
it's over.
Even if you have both of your characters, you're dead because you lose the one to the assassin and then you lose the one for challenging him.
Nobody wants to die.
Exactly. So it is, it puts people in just these weird situations that everybody has a good time in my mind on this game. It was hilarious. Last time I played, it was so funny.
It is good.
And again, you're playing these rounds back to back to back. It is only six players, but it's a solid party with that maxed out.
It's definitely one of those games where if you play it back to back, like the meta of what happened in previous games really spills over.
It does.
Yeah. Ian, you've been saying you're the Duke for four games.
I know, stop it. You can't be the Duke for four staged games.
Yeah, this is one of those two where it's a cheap game, and I would highly recommend adding the expansion if you buy it, because I think it just adds another layer and a little bit more variety to it. I think it's definitely worth it. Oh, you'd like it, for sure.
That's funny.
All right, well, I'm going to do an honorable mention, and then I'm going to say my last one, because the more I've thought about it, I don't know that I would like it in a party game setting. So The honorable mention, I don't know that I would want to do it as much in a party game setting, the more I've thought about it. It was on my list, but I'm kind of making a switcheroo here.
Okay.
So Magic Maze is a game that I very much enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Maze, you are working together as a standard D&D party. So one person controls the fighter, or barbarian, excuse me. One person controls the wizard, one controls the rogue, and one controls the cleric.
Yep.
What has happened is you have gone to the mall.
Yes.
Because someone has stolen all of your stuff.
Ooh.
And so you must now steal from the mall to get your new stuff.
Oh, okay.
And get out of the mall before you are caught.
Wild.
Insane. You're going to do this.
This plot is insane.
In real time. So everybody's moving.
Not fake time.
Real time. So we'll start the timer. No one is allowed to talk. You have in front of you a direction.
Yep.
So it might be up, down, left, or right. You might be the one controlling the warp zones. You might be the one controlling the elevators or the escalators, excuse me. So you can control any of the pawns. It's a cooperative game.
And if you control the escalators, it's like only up, right?
You can do up and down on the escalators. Okay. Yeah. So you can move any pawn that you want, but you can only move them in the direction that you are allowed to go.
Right.
And so this is a game where everyone has to work together. And
this game gets intense.
It gets very intense because no one can talk. And there's this big red pawn.
Yep.
That's solid wood all the way through. And it's the way that you get somebody's attention.
Yep.
And in our games, it is very much a pound this thing on the table as hard as you can. And you jolt this person out of whatever like trauma they're in as they're trying to figure out how to move a piece.
Dude, it's like,
wake up! Wake up!
You're just pounding the table with this wooden token.
You're trying to work together to get each of them to their correct store because you're going to rob all four stores at the same time.
Oh, man.
Because naturally you want to cause as much mayhem as you can so that you can get to the appropriate exits.
Yep.
You can add on, you can go through like a little pamphlet in the rule book where it adds on more rules as you go.
Yeah.
I will say though, I don't really like to play this game with more than four, even though you can play up to eight. You just start getting into a very chaotic people. It's a small board for eight players to reach in and try and move the pieces.
Yeah.
And when you're in a timed setting where you only have so long to do it before you fail, I don't know. So if you're into that, then I will never not recommend Magic Maze.
Yeah.
At four, it's great. It's chaotic mayhem and I'm here for it.
It is chaotic mayhem. But it is a great game.
Definitely it's better at four, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my last one that I'm going to mention is Wits and Wagers.
Wow.
So I'm going to throw this one in for a very specific reason.
Okay.
We have kind of taken the concept of Wits and Wagers. I mean, I like the game. I think the game's fine.
Yeah.
It's a fun... So basically, it's a trivia game where you don't really need to know trivia.
Yep.
You are given a prompt. It's almost always numbers related.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you are supposed to try and guess the number without going over.
Right.
Okay. So then everyone puts their answers out face up, and then everyone bets on which answer they think is correct.
Right. Yep.
And so you get points if you're correct. You get points if people bet on you, so on and so forth.
I played a lot of this game.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things that I really loved about this is we've taken this concept and kind of morphed it into a bit of a different thing that we've run at several of our siblings, their like rehearsal dinners before they got married.
Oh boy.
So we've turned it into a trivia night for the couples.
Okay.
We've done this three or four times now. Wow. Because Anna has a lot of siblings.
Yep.
And so I'll host and I'll give everybody a whiteboard. They will hand in their answers or whatever. We'll do like 8 to 10 questions. Just a great time.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed taking that concept of Wits and Wagers and kind of moving it into more of a like big group format where people can kind of learn more about the couple and that sort of thing. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah. No, it's a good party game. It's easy. I say easy as an ease of access, ease of use, ease of play.
It's easily my favorite trivia game.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good at trivia at all.
Yeah.
And so I love that idea of I can just guess.
Yep.
And then bet on what I think is the right answer.
Right. Exactly. And so that works so well in that area. And just like, especially a group that doesn't know each other well. It's just like, let's just put some numbers out there and see who can get closest. You know, maybe somebody knows the right answer. So.
That's right. And they do have a party edition of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes up to 12 in the party edition.
Yeah, so you play as teams. I've played that one.
And this is made by North Star Games. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in Target or wherever. So.
Yep. Yeah, the team one, you play as a team. The betting mechanics slightly change just for the amount of players. But yeah, it's a similar game.
So, yep. By the way, Target, we've only mentioned you like 6 times in this episode.
Yeah,
so whenever you want to sponsor, you know, that'd be
sponsorship.
Great.
Yep. Anytime now. But waiting for the email.
Your people can call us.
Yep. That'd be great. We would appreciate that.
You're not wrong. We would appreciate that.
So anyway.
All right.
But yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I think, we'll probably revisit the party game section at some point.
This was a wonky episode, man.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you liked this rapid fire nonsense as a differentiation from our normal one game, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we don't know.
Also, go to our Discord and tell us what party games you like, because I'm always,
there's a lot. Like, we listed off several, and I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
I know. That's the weird thing, is I don't feel like I own enough party games, because there's just, like, I just don't own enough games for large groups.
Yeah.
And I never know what to bring. And so if there's something that we didn't mention, or if you really like one of these, like, tell us, because I want to know legitimately, because I'm really I'm honestly looking for some more. So I would love to hear what y'all are playing, because like I feel like this is always the hardest part of gaming, is finding games that fit the larger groups like this. And so I would love to know more. So yeah, please tell us what you play, what you like, what's your icebreaker, you know, what do you always play it, you know, what do you play with if you have 6 to 8 people that you're, you know, we haven't started gaming yet, but you want to try and, you know, get everybody loose.
And I'll say this right now, Ian, I'll be so bold. If we get 15 people between now and November, this is going to drop on March 6th.
Okay.
So we're talking more than 6 months.
Yeah.
If we can get 15 people by the beginning of November to respond to this episode, I will host another murder mystery party for our listeners.
Oh, my.
For Christmas time.
Wow.
I'll do it.
I've counted.
Here we are. That's the call. 15
so
people.
I will. I'm technically a listener. I won't.
Nope.
I won't be one of these 15, but I will be at this party.
That is true. You can be at the party, but you cannot count as one of the 15.
I'm not going
to count. We need participation from our listeners.
So if you want to be at the most glorious, amazing, best party, best murder mystery party you have ever seen or have been a part of,
can't
or ever
guarantee,
will be.
Can't guarantee any of that.
Nope.
But
that's all true. If you want to be part of this wonderful, never before, never ever will be done again
experience.
He's
overselling it.
Tell us what your favorite party game is, and what your go-to, what your icebreakers, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jared, he will host a party.
I'll do it.
Yep.
I'm very excited about this idea.
Yeah. I'm going to be pushing this all over the socials, so it's gonna happen.
Guys, it's 12:37 in the morning as we record this. I'm ready. I'm here for it.
He's ready for a party.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you have feedback, like Ian said, or want to give us your thoughts on any of the games that we mentioned here today, we would love to hear from you. Links to all of our socials, which you should absolutely blow up and make look great, are in the description. If you don't like socials, shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com, or you can find both of us on BoardGameGeek.
Mm-hmm.
5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials if that's your thing. Hey, by the way, I add that because I'm not on socials. I don't really like social media. So outside of like Reddit, you're not going to find me anywhere.
Go to Discord. You can find him there.
Now you will find me there.
Yep.
But yes, if you want to follow us on socials, I would greatly appreciate it because I know that's important. Joining the conversation on Discord, all these things are heroic actions that we need.
We need them. We desire them. We need you.
And they would be immensely helpful in growing this podcast. As always, special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Anna and I talk about some game in our 2-top review that I have not yet gotten ready for.
I love it.
It's been a week, y'all.
I love it. Let's do it.
In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And party it up.
Party on, y'all.